What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
G'day guys, it is I, Lyle Swithenbank, back with another instalment of the Pelican Scoop. We're back again. We're coming in hard and fast like we did last week. We're going to keep these podcasts rolling. I think the half an hour mark's pretty good. We'll see how we go today. Last week, or yesterday, I suppose, last episode, you were stuck with just me. Today, we've got a guest. I foreshadowed it in the last episode, but today we've got very, very special guest all the way from New Orleans, 103.7 The Game. It is Lewis Prajean. Lewis, how are you going, mate? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's going great, Lyle. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us. We're chatting a little bit off air, and I think we're going to have a bit of fun today chatting everything Pels. We've had some Pels basketball. Game one of the preseason. We're playing Miami, or we played Miami, and it sounds like we're going to be winning a world championship. I think we're right on there. What do you think?
I don't want to overreact or anything, but Pelicans are winning. Look, the logic is pretty clear. The logic is pretty solid. You defeat the NBA Finals team, the team that was just in the NBA Finals. You're going to the NBA Finals. And we talk about this offseason being so short. Well, that means there's not a lot of separation from whatever just happened in the regular season and postseason to what's happening now. So, look, if we're not far behind and if we're already beating an NBA Finals team, then we're making the NBA Finals. I also do have a take about the Milwaukee game when we get to it. So you can't let me forget about that when we get to Milwaukee.
No, we'll get to that one, and we'll be looking forward to that take. But I mean, that's simple maths. You know, if you beat the team that's in the finals, then you are better than them. So therefore, you should be in there as well. It's just like mild extrapolation. But you know, preseason game one, we got to see 33 minutes of Zion, which I don't know. I think we've seen that twice ever, which previously. So to see him look healthy, look fit, look aggressive, I mean, exciting times. Hopefully we see a bit more of this.
He looks so happy. He just looks happy. Like all the social media videos that they released, I know he was joking about his 2K rating. 81 sounded about right, but whatever, Zion. If you want to get a little boost, it's fine. I think that most importantly for him, you know, he looks in shape. He wasn't huffing and puffing down the court. It was nice to have Mark Jackson not to call him out within the first 5 minutes saying he's fat. So that was another positive from the game, not having Mark Jackson yell at Zion. But I think most importantly, he's just in high spirits. Like he looks like he's in a better place mentally than he was last year, and you could just tell whenever he's talking about how he has no restrictions, it's the biggest smile on his face whenever he's talking about it. He's just laughing. It seems like he's in a really good mood. So I think most importantly, it's about his mental space. And out on the court, he's in shape. I mean, who are we to say, like, Zion's out of shape? Because, I mean, we're completely out of shape if Zion's out of shape. So, look, of course, like, NBA shape, he was a little out of NBA shape last season. But, you know, he looks to be in shape, and it really proved in that 33 minutes because He didn't even look tired. There are times last season you can tell he looked tired, especially on the defensive end, and he wasn't chasing after defensive rebounds. But this game, one preseason game, 33 minutes, he was out there in the final 2 minutes of the game acting like they were down by five with like a minute left and they were up 20. So, you know, it was great to see that. But most importantly, it's great to see him just smiling and happy.
Yeah, the positivity around the team, it seems to resonate across all of the players and the staff. You know, seeing these interviews with the guys, the media availability that they give, all of them are smiling and joking around and seem to really want to be there and seem to be really enjoying their basketball. And I don't know if times last year that was always the case. You know, you saw a bit of going through the motions, I suppose, a bit at times. And I suppose hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? You know, you look back at it now, you're like, oh, it was happy then. But you see these guys now, you see B.I. smiling from ear to ear in every photo that gets posted by the training, the Pelicans media team. And it's just great to see. And I mean, Zion, what, he absolutely went off. 26 and 11, 10 of 11 free throw shooting. And you could see the smile on the face of the coaches. And it was Fred Vincent that was working on his shooting with him. And he got a little tap on the leg at one point saying, yes, you fixed it, when touch wood, it continues. That's something that you really need to work on in his game. Were you happy to see that development, the consistency with the free throws?
Oh, my God, yeah. I didn't even realize it, because I think that's how smooth the jumper looked from the free throw line, that I didn't even notice it. To some people, it was pointed out to me on Twitter that it was like, has anyone noticed how Zion's free throw looks a lot smoother? And once I read that, it was like every trip down the line, it was very noticeable to me. His free throw jumper was a lot better. Shout out to Fred Vincent. It's important that they maintained him in the offseason. I meant to, you know, every now and then I'll just think about ever since Monday, like what, I mean, we're recording this 2 days from the preseason game. I've been thinking about how amazing Fred Vincent is. And I was thinking about how great it was that they retained him. It's one of those small moves that in a team with new players coming in with another trade happening during an offseason, that it's important to keep some continuity, especially with your pieces like Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Fred Vincent was working with them heavily last year. We know that, but it seems it comes out that Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson were working with Fred Vincent before practice and before practices on their free throw shooting. And that's important. That's what, you know, it's not a big move maintaining Fred Vincent. You're not like, this is a playoff move, but this one small move that maintains continuity and just maintains, I mean, guys comfortable around the team. Look, you mentioned that Brandon Ingram is happy, smiling in every photo. One, getting a max contract will do that, I assume. Sure. But two is being more comfortable with the team. This is another season he's getting more comfortable. We saw him like huddling around the players before tip-off and talking to them. It's just guys being more comfortable. So what's great to see is already some development, because I think that's a real development that can be here to stay, just solely because it's a form, it's shooting form. That is good to see. And when you have Fred Vincent, who's been working with this guy, with these guys, and another year with Fred Vincent, that's why I think that's a positive development and one that's here to stay. I know we can react or like overreact to preseason. I do that. I certainly do that, but I will not overreact to improvement from the free throw line. Because if you're going to live there, then you're going to need Fred Vincent by your side. You're going to need to work with Fred Vincent, and the development's there. Like it's showing already. That was good to see from Zion.
Yeah, and he's going to live at the line. I mean, we saw his there was a picture of his shot chart that got circulated around. I don't know where it was. I think I saw it on Twitter, and all of them come from directly under the basket or thereabouts, just in the paint. And if he's going to live there, he's going to be straight back up to that foul line just about every second time. The kid, you wouldn't even realize that he was, like, I mean, if you were new to the game and you saw him in the paint dunking all over people and grabbing these rebounds, you wouldn't think he was 20 years old. This guy's got man strength. Like, he's, you know, when you go from boy strength to like man strength, like your dad would have dad strength. He's like that. He's so strong. And there was a really exciting bit where Stephen Adams sort of, I don't know if he was trying to throw a lob or something like that, but dumped it off down to him down low. And he jumped over two guys and put it in. And I just don't know whether or not he would have done that as consistently last year. I mean, he was great for a highlight reel, but you can see that, I suppose, fitness coming through, that the repeat efforts, like him hustling for that that errant pass, I guess, to put it in. I think the fitness is there, and I think that also probably bodes well with him going forward, that if your preseason's good, hopefully he can maintain this throughout the season and keep that fitness. Speaking of Brandon Ingram, he got his max contract. Obviously makes him pretty happy with that. He had a great game as well. Were you happy with what you saw from him?
Yeah, one thing about Brandon Ingram is like everything, where the main takeaway is that Brandon Ingram was everywhere. Yeah. Not only on the defensive end, that's where people are looking. He gave a lot of effort on Brandon Ingram. I know Will Guillory from The Athletic posted a video of this exhausting defensive possession for Brandon Ingram, which I totally understand why players, especially when they're the leading scorer on the team, do not want to play defense, because it looks exhausting what he was able to do on this defensive possession, where he fights over the screen and then he has to fight over and then guard the guy with the ball, chase him down, and then he got a block on him. He was right on his hip, and then he blocks him as he goes for the layup. It looked exhausting, but that was good to see from the energy on defense, because players will tell you that, and I mean, people that just talk about basketball in general will tell you, defense is a lot about effort. And it's true. Even when the players say it, it's just a lot of it's about effort. So that was good to see effort on the defensive end for Brandon Ingram. Stan Van Gundy helps there. Having guys that emphasize defense like Stephen Adams and Eric Bledsoe help you as well. Felt like maybe last year, especially when Alvin Gentry was at the helm, defense was not a priority. So <Yeah. laughs> when you have the coaches and you have other players that are defensive minded, that's going to help you. And then on the offensive end, I always believe the NBA is heading towards the wing position. We see with Kawhi Leonard and Pascal Siakam in Toronto, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Obviously, LeBron can play the wing, Kevin Durant, wing player. And you need that three-level scorer at the wing, and you need versatility at that wing position. Brandon Ingram's that guy. Like, he's that guy. The only things that's keeping him from all NBA is defense, because what we're seeing now is that he's scoring at all three levels, so his three-point shot is real. Pull-up three in the preseason game, he hit that I can point out many times where he hit a pull-up three, and that's like another credit to Fred Vinson last season. But he's scoring from the three-point line. We know his mid-range ability. Coming off a screen, he's able to hit a pull-up mid-range shot. And he seemed to operate more on the baseline, more noticeably in the preseason. So that's where he was operating there. He had that baseline posterizing dunk. So he's getting to the rim. He's hitting that mid-range. He's a three-level scorer, which is important. And then he had six assists on the night, getting people involved as well. I can't wait to see where Brandon Ingram's game is going. The only thing for him, the offensive side is not going to be a problem. Just getting consistent effort on the defensive end for Brandon Ingram is what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, we saw a bit of that. There was a little highlight. They called it a goaltend. I still think that it was a block, and I think the replay may or may not have confirmed that it was a block. But just those efforts on that end, it's something that I talked about in my last podcast. Is it? You can't teach effort. And like you said, you know, effort is something that you can encourage, but you can't teach it. And if you have guys around you that are all buying in, guys like Eric Bledsoe, guys like Stephen Adams, Josh Hart, that bring this effort on that end, I think it's contagious. And when you've got Stan Van Gundy screaming at you to get onto it as well, it probably helps. But a couple of guys we added, and we're going to get to our the sad news, I suppose, of the off-season. A couple of guys we brought in that fateful trade was Eric Bledsoe and also Stephen Adams. That defensive mindset, there was a lot of conjecture that Bledsoe would get moved on again, but it appears that he's going to be hanging around with us, which I'm not mad about. I think he's a good player. I think both of them are. What do you think both of those guys bring to the team?
I think I'm going to have to delete a tweet that I sent out whenever that trade happened where I said, I'm totally fine keeping George Hill and trading away Eric Bledsoe. I hope that's just an old tweet, old take exposed kind of deal because, look, at the time when the trade happened, George Hill is an extremely good fit for the Pelicans. I'll still maintain that thought that George Hill still would have been a great veteran point guard that you only need when you can spot up and shoot, but if you need him in some ball handling duties, that he can do that for your team. And he was one of the best spot-up shooters last year in the NBA, George Hill. So I'll maintain that I thought George Hill would have been great, but he is a little older than Eric Bledsoe, less athletic than Eric Bledsoe. He's not going to give you the same edge on defense that Eric Bledsoe is going to give you. And the more you think about it, the more you heard about Eric Bledsoe, he was like, all right, that's a Stan Van Gundy guy. Like, all right, I mean, it makes sense why Eric Bledsoe is staying with the Pelicans, why they don't trade him, and why they want him to be in the backcourt with Lonzo Ball. It makes more sense as you think about it. I can't wait to – because, you know, people will harp on Eric Bledsoe being like, he's not good in the postseason. It's like, I don't care. I'm trying to make the postseason if I'm in the Pelicans. Like, I don't care about getting past the second round right now. I care that we get a winning season in and that we are at least in the playoffs. So Eric Bledsoe, at the time, I was okay with trading him. That wasn't a knock on him per se. But I think Eric Bledsoe is going to do some good things, especially on defense. I believe he was on the all-defensive second team last year. So he's going to provide that. And then offensively, I mean, he's going to operate in the pick and roll more than Lonzo can. So he's going to be more aggressive in the pick and roll. Well, with Lonzo, maybe we'll get to Lonzo because people love – like Lonzo Ball is the most polarizing player on Pel's Twitter. So maybe we'll get to Lonzo Ball. But what Eric Bledsoe is going to give you in that pick and roll, he's going to be more aggressive attacking the rim, something that Lonzo tried to do a couple of times in the preseason game against Miami, but something he didn't do – last season, he wasn't aggressive as you want him to be. Eric Bledsoe can be aggressive in the pick and roll. And then when you're trying to see Lonzo's spot up situation, he's going to pass it out to Lonzo. If Brandon Ingram's there, he's going to find Brandon Ingram. But you need that aggressiveness. If there's anything that we saw in the preseason game, they want to dominate the paint and get to the line. Eric Bledsoe is going to be a guy, if you're that aggressive, he's getting to the line. So that's where he fits offensively. I think Steven Adams, there are some questions about the spacing on offense. Well, Steven Adams creates spacing with his screens. So there's a couple of times where you'll go back and watch the Miami game, Zion's driving to the rim, but how is that lane created? It's Steven Adams just putting a body on another guy and giving him that driving lane. I know Steven Adams just said in the presser today, he was like, well, I just got to get out of his way. Speaking of Zion, well, I mean, he's creating that space. He's creating that lane for Zion to drive. So spacing-wise, I mean, you go back to his past highlights, there's a lot of off-ball screens that Steven Adams will set where players are going to have to help out onto where Steven Adams was. So they'll help out on the ball handler, which leaves their man, and then you have an open three-point shot. We're going to see that a couple times this season where Steven Adams sets an off-ball screen and someone has to rotate, and you're going to get somebody wide open on a three. You just have to knock it down. And that's one of the concerns that I have about the Pelicans was the spot-up shooting. So that was one of the concerns that I have. But Steven Adams creates space with off-ball screens. We saw that with Zion, and he creates – space because you mentioned that play where Steven Adams is at the top of the free throw line and he just throws it down to Zion. Well, I don't want to make this like one-off comparison of like DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, but there's something to be said about a big man that can create at the top of the free throw line and then create for your other big man that's in the paint around the rim. And I feel like that can be vice versa. I can run Zion at the top of the free throw line, creating for Steven Adams, carving out good position down the rim, and Steven Adams will get a bucket. But if you're Steven Adams, he's a good enough passer where he can drop it down to Zion and he can go make a play around the rim as well. So that's where he helps. And defensively, he's a great communicator, a great personality to have. He's very vocal. So that's where he's going to help out on the defensive end.
You summarize that so perfectly. I was sitting there, it's nodding away. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, this spacing, like it was like everyone was crying out, yeah, we've got to go and get someone like Brook Lopez or someone that can shoot threes. And I think Steven Adams, spacing is more than just being able to hit a three and stand in the corner. It is being able to create space, whether that is 25 feet out from the ring or it's 15, as long as there's space for two guys to operate down there, well, crafty passing and knowing when to move away and box out or even seal off, because it creates that that driving lane, like you said, for Zion and even the guards. You know, Eric Bledsoe loves a drive. He'll muck around down in the paint flat out. So if you've got that space for him to run down where he knows he's not going to get killed by another center, you know, that's happy days. That's exactly what you want. And when you've got a big body down there like that, I mean, look at the rebounding numbers. We, 16 more or something like that. And I don't know the last time or how often we did that last year. I mean, I was watching some of the early Pelicans games from last year, and I was pulling my hair out watching these guys all standing around, seeing this, like, defensive rebound just bounce to the ground. And you're sitting there going, someone's got to grab that. But, you know, that's when the defensive end, play ends. But I think Steven Adams is that sort of guy. Well, I mean, what did he play? 19 minutes at 8 rebounds.
And I don't want to, like, be totally positive about it because it sounds like everything was positive from the preseason game. It was a 22-point win. Look, I do have some concerns about it, and especially in the first half with Steven Adams, it really did look clunky at times. Like, it really looked clunky. It wasn't exactly working. But you adjusted in the second half. You adjust after the first quarter, something that they did. Like, they were turning the ball over early on. They were, like, you know, it just looked clunky in the first half, which is what you expect in a preseason game. But it was more promising in the second half. And, look, it's what's another frustrating thing is, like, we view spacing only for Zion. Like, we need space for Zion. We need space for Zion. Well, there's three other players on the court if you're not counting Steven Adams and Zion Williamson. So there's three other players on the court that you have to create space for. What about a J.J. Redick coming off of Steven Adams off-ball screen? What about, like, whoever's in the corner, if that's Alonzo Ball, whoever's on the wing that's going to benefit from Zion, everyone crashing down into the paint on Zion, and it's up to Zion to make that play. But all that space is created because of those two, but we have to think about the other players that are going to have space as well. You know, again, everything wasn't positive in the Steven Adams debut because it did look clunky, but once they figured it out, they're going to figure it out. And this is, look, I wanted a spacing center. Like, I was calling for Aaron Baines, which I still wouldn't hate, you know, to have Aaron Baines.
You get that toughness.
But the thing is, people complain about that contract extension that they gave Steven Adams, but David Griffin kind of explained why they gave it to him. You also set the market before other people can set the market for big men, which is important. And if you feel that confident about Steven Adams, just lock him up. You know, if you feel confident about your core and he could be part of the core, lock him up. So, you know, everything wasn't positive from Steven Adams early on, but it got there and it's going to continue getting there. That's what's positive about the debut of Steven Adams on this team.
Yeah, and added it was another off season of turmoil, I guess. They shipped out the much loved Drew Holiday. I saw a picture, I don't know, someone had tweeted it about that Drew Holiday had been through it all and he was there and there was three different sort of eras in with the pre-AD and then the AD, him being drafted and then the DeMarcus Cousins and then and this one, just before he was shipped out with Zion, he's going to be missed. I suppose it'll be in his return on Friday. What do you think we'd lose by him being shipped out?
Well, you lose one of your best defenders, no question. You lose one of the better two-way guards in the league. You know, the thing about Drew Holiday is that his individual defense didn't always translate to great team defense. That's one of the things about Drew Holiday that people point out. I will say in Drew Holiday's defense that he was under a system that didn't allow for defense to be great team defense to be played. Like, you have AD and Drew Holiday and you're not a great team defense. That's not on them. Like, that's not on Drew Holiday. He's doing whatever he can. He's switching 1 through 5. Like, he's guarding everybody on the court. He's guarding the guy's best player. So you're losing one of the better individual and just one of the better defenders in the league. You know, offensive wise, he was a little inconsistent, admittedly, something that was frustrating. I remember the Indiana Pacers game last year where he takes over. They have a couple injuries. He has like 31 or 33 points, and he leads them to a road victory over Indiana. So when Drew Holiday's on, of course, we can go back to the Portland series in the playoffs. When Drew Holiday's on, he's great, but it's more about offensive consistency. The thing is, when you take out Drew Holiday and replace him with Eric Bledsoe, I've got to see consistent offense from Eric Bledsoe. You know, you got to see the same things that you would want from Drew Holiday in Eric Bledsoe. It's obviously going to be different. Drew Holiday is probably better in that mid-range area and on some post-up situations because he's bigger than other guards, and Eric Bledsoe is not bigger than other guards. So it's going to be different. I think Eric Bledsoe is going to be more aggressive driving to the rim than Drew Holiday, but he's not going to overpower anybody in the post with his size. You know, he's stronger. Of course, Eric Bledsoe are stronger than some guards, but not taller. So I think there's different dynamics there. But overall, without Drew Holiday, you're missing one of your better individual defenders, which was a case that I gave for keeping Drew Holiday. If you wanted to fit the Kyle Lowry mold, which, again, shout out to Will Gilley at The Athletic for writing that article. Like, if you want to give him the Kyle Lowry extension and give him that role, that's a case to keeping him on. So there's going to be some differences in guard play for the Pelicans, but you're missing out on one of your better individual defenders.
Well, Milwaukee got a good one. You know, they sort of, whether or not, it helps them with Giannis signing that $228 million extension. Bad change.
People are freaking out about about the Bucks preseason. You know, they're saying they're cooked. You know, they just got blown out. So I guess we can't really overreact to preseason because they have Giannis and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. The Bucks will be fine. So maybe we can't overreact to preseason. But shout out to Giannis for signing that Supermax like you were just mentioning.
It's not bad money, that. You know, I'd say he'd be smiling as well when he saw that got put down in front of him. Testament to the small market sort of vibe. You know, he's staying out in Milwaukee 5 years. There's already people saying, oh, you know, he can still leave, he can still be traded, and that's fair enough. But I think Milwaukee at the moment's just rubbing their hands together that they've got dual MVP defensive player of the year locked in there. They've added Drew Holiday. Surely that improves on last season for them. You know, it was probably a bit lackluster in the end, not making the finals. I think they're probably right on the cusp again. I think as long as you've got Giannis, that's probably a side that you can't count out. Drew Holiday is going to bring that length. Like you said, he can play he can guard 1-5 in a pinch. Doesn't always want to, but can. I think he could be a piece that pushes them over the edge and gets them up into the finals. What do you think? Do you think he could be the difference?
I thought Milwaukee made a mistake keeping Eric Bledsoe and letting Malcolm Brogdon go because Malcolm Brogdon is more of a stabilizing force in the postseason. So with adding Drew Holiday, you kind of get what I would want to see from Malcolm Brogdon on that Milwaukee Bucks team, just a more stabilizing guard that, you know, he's not going to just disappear in the postseason. Again, look, we're going to say that about Eric Bledsoe. If you're a Pelicans fan, you're just happy you made the postseason and then worry about if Eric Bledsoe disappears or not. With Milwaukee, though, Drew Holiday's what we saw from him in the postseason, that he's going to show up. He's not going to disappear. So for Milwaukee, it makes sense that they don't put a lot of stock in the regular season because they know they're going to win games, especially with Mike Budenholzer there. He knows how to win regular season games. It's about the postseason. And if you add a Drew Holiday on a team with Giannis, we saw what Drew Holiday was able to do in that Portland series again. So he's not going to disappear. And he's a more stabilizing guard for the Bucks. That's why it was important for them to add. And then, you know, off the court or just in practice, Giannis is being guarded by one of the best individual defenders in the NBA. There was that clip of Drew Holiday and Giannis going at it, and I'm glad people pointed it out because that was one of my first thoughts was Giannis gets better every time he practices with Drew Holiday. He's getting guarded by him. And if you're Drew Holiday, you're also getting better because you're being guarded by the defensive player of the year. So like, it's a nice trade-off. There's a lot of positive with Drew Holiday. And another thing that it shows Giannis is we're willing to trade. Like, we're willing to put the pieces around to make sure that you're happy. Credit to Milwaukee for the Supermax, and we said that it's a small victory or like a victory for small markets, not a small victory, but it's a victory for small markets. It's a credit to Milwaukee, and it was for doing everything right by Giannis, doing whatever they can, putting the right pieces around him whenever they needed to. I did think it was a mistake letting Brogdon go, but along the way, they didn't have a lot of mishaps, and they put a great coach by him. So they did everything, and they developed him. It was almost like Giannis being like, you brought me into a good organization, and you developed me. So, like of course, a lot of it's on Giannis and his personal development. So it's a credit to Giannis, but it's also a credit to the organization for allowing him that time and that development. So Milwaukee did a lot of good things by Giannis, and I think they did another good thing by acquiring Jrue Holiday. There's a lot of benefit there from adding one of the best individual defenders and then someone that can definitely show up as a stabilizing force at that guard position in the postseason.
Yeah, I think they got a good one. I feel for Pelicans fans because obviously he was much loved, but then I also am so stoked for him going to a team that's probably more on his timeline in terms of his career to try to win that championship. We're going to get a look at him. I'm not sure whether or not the lineups have been announced yet. We're probably still a little bit far out from it. But we're going to have a look at the Bucks on Friday, your time, Saturday for me. What do you want to see from the Pels against this team?
Well, just read that J.J. Redick and Eric Bledsoe will be available for that game against Milwaukee. This is what I want to see. I want to see the full roster play. And, I want to see Wenyen Gabriel out there as well. I'm looking for an update on Wenyen Gabriel. Haven't exactly seen one yet, so we'll see if he's going to be available. I know he's dealing with some minor injury there. But more important, I mean, J.J. Redick and Eric Bledsoe, that's one of your best second unit players in J.J. Redick and your best shooter. And then that's and Eric Bledsoe, that's your starting guard. Those are two key pieces for Pelican success. We saw some great things from the core pieces of the Pelicans. Now let's see them with the full assortment of the rotation. Like, Stan Van Gundy might keep a tight rotation. He kept a tight rotation in a preseason game. I wonder what he's going to do in the regular season, like that tight rotation. And if it's part of a tight rotation, then you've got J.J. Redick and Eric Bledsoe coming back into the mix. You only have one more preseason game. You want to see him against other competition. That's what I want to see. I don't know how they're going to play. I can't even predict how they're going to play because they could come out and lose by 30. Of course, I'll be having a meltdown, but I'll be like, yeah, guys, it's a preseason game. But as long as we get to see J.J. Redick and Eric Bledsoe, the full group of guys back into the mix, into the rotation, that's just what I want to see before they take on the Toronto Raptors in that regular season opener. I just want to see the full assortment of the main rotation.
It'll be good to see and I suppose get the reps in. This is I think it's the final preseason game before we get into the actual things that count, the games that count. Looking forward to seeing them take another step and bringing all of those pieces together, I guess, and seeing how they work as a whole. Like you said, we didn't see Eric Bledsoe, didn't see JJ in the first game. Still waiting for Wenyen Gabriel. But once all these pieces come in together and we see Stan Van Gundy put his mind to work to get all these things to fit together, it's going to be interesting to see. There's going to be teething problems. I think everyone knows there's going to be teething problems at some point. You're bringing in all these different players and trying to make them all play together straight away. It's a new system, you know. It's going to be like that. But overall, I think it's a net positive. I think we're trending in the right direction.
We know what the preseason Pelicans are like. They're the best team in NBA history. Yeah. Then they go out in the regular season, they start 2-11. And if you look at the Pelicans' schedule to start off, it's really tough. Yeah. So don't be surprised if the Pelicans just start out like 2-7 to start the season. That's kind of where my expectations are at. And for the season as a whole, I kind of expect the Pelicans to be around 500, maybe competing for that play-in spot in the NBA playoffs, but not firmly in the postseason. that's kind of where my expectations are for the Pelicans. That's to your point about the preseason game with J.J. Redick and Eric Bledsoe. We'll be able to see all the guys, but someone could have a bad game. It doesn't fit right away, and it takes multiple games to really see what they look like together. It's just going to take time. That was one of the things that was hard to grasp last season after the AD trade and getting a bunch of young talent on the team, that it was like, man, they're off to a terrible start. They've got like a 13-game losing streak going on, and all you hear in the locker room was, it takes time, it takes time, it takes time. And then in the second half of the season, before the NBA season was suspended, they were really getting it together. They were slightly above 500 when Zion, and it was really true that it only takes time. So I think some more patience is going to be required, even though this team can be successful, and immediately with the additions that they made, it's still going to take some patience.
It is. I think patience is something we've got to preach. Almost forgot you had a hot take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Would you like to share that with the?
Okay. I'm glad you brought it up again. I was about to mention it. The Pelicans just beat the Miami Heat in the first preseason game. If they beat the Milwaukee Bucks in this preseason game, the Pelicans would be the one seed in the Eastern Conference. If they put them in the Eastern Conference. So NBA offices, front offices, Adam Silver, are you listening? Can we please put the New Orleans Pelicans in the Eastern Conference? Because they would definitely be the one seed if they beat the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday. That's my take.
We need a petition. I'm with you. Let's get it done.
We're going to march. New Orleans is closer to the east of the states than... Oh, just forget it. I mean, the whole alignment of the NBA is a little confusing. I guess you got to put teams in some conferences. It would be nice if New Orleans was in the East, but it's fine. But my take is that if they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, then they would be the one seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, well, again, that's just simple maths that we were talking about earlier on. You know, you beat the good teams, you're better than them. That's just science. You know, I'm sure there's some sort of study that's been done to say that.
Why can't people grasp it? Why? NBA analysis has gotten so poor that we cannot grasp this logic here. Ah, jeez.
You know, we're all over it. You know, some people playing chess and we're playing checkers. You know, we're all over it. But before we wrap up, I know you mentioned him briefly before, Lonzo, and he is polarizing. I think that's the exact word that he is, especially on Pelicans Twitter. I don't like going into him much because he divides people. But you know, I think he hopefully his shot starts falling. 2 of 9 from three in the game. Could it just be rust? You know, the bubble, he was pretty bad, but he's going into a contract year, looking for that contract extension. Surely this shot's going to start falling. What do you think? What's your take on Lonzo?
Let's ruffle some feathers, Lyle. Okay,
let's do it.
Here we go. Lonzo Ball is not a – no, I wanted to go there. People are going to say, like, Lonzo Ball is not a point guard. he is a point guard. Don't get me wrong. I was listening to Locked On Pelicans, and you've had Jake Madison on the show before.
Mm.
So I was listening to Locked On Pelicans from, I think, his reaction to the first preseason game. Yes. And he said something that's probably going to stick with me was Lonzo Ball is a connector, not a creator, which is one of the better descriptions of Lonzo that I've heard. And that doesn't put him in a position. That doesn't say, like, Lonzo is going to be a spot-up wing shooter or Lonzo is a traditional point guard. You know, because people do want to almost stick him at a certain position and be like, all right, Lonzo, that's who you are. That's who you are. You stay there. And then that's why it gets so, like, tangled, where people are debating where Lonzo fits on the court. But he's a connector, not a creator. So in transition, he'll be able to have a great outlet pass that we saw in the preseason game to Zion. And you'll see that throughout, even in the half court. Connector, not a creator. So that's one of the best descriptions that I've heard of Lonzo. My take on Lonzo, I'm not down on Lonzo. Like, I'm not saying trade him away immediately, but I'm also not, like, all right, let's pay him $18 million a year because he's not worth $18 million a year. One of the things about Lonzo, where all last season, it was just stretches of the season where it's like, man, Lonzo looks bad. But then you get that stretch right before the NBA season. This is the worst thing to happen to the Pelicans. The stretch of Lonzo before – I don't know if it's like the NBA season that got suspended was the worst thing to happen or Lonzo, the stretch of Lonzo, because it just cut off like a cliffhanger that will never figure out what Lonzo Ball is as a player. Because if that season continues, then we'll have a better sample of where Lonzo is as a player, because now you have to factor in so much stuff. If the season's not suspended, Lonzo keeps playing at the clip that he's playing at, and it was like a great clip that he was playing at. It was like 23-7-7, great three-point shooting. It was all great for Lonzo. Then the season gets shut down, and then now we have to factor in a pandemic. Then we have to factor in that hiatus where he looks bad in the bubble. And how much stock do you put into, is Lonzo affected by having all this time off? And that's why he's looking bad. There's so much. It was like a bad cliffhanger. It sucked that it happened. That sucks. But where Lonzo is, we're going to need to see some. It has to be a nice in between of where he was at the beginning of last season and then where it was before the season was suspended, because no one's expecting him to be exactly how he was before the season was suspended. That was great play from Lonzo, but I don't think anyone's going to be like, all right, he's a 8 point per game scorer, 5 rebounds and 5 assists. He's better than that. There's gotta be a nice in between from Lonzo that you have to see. Otherwise you can't justify paying him that much money. He is the most polarizing thing about Pelicans Twitter. He's the most polarizing thing. Like, it's crazy how we view Lonzo Ball. It's tough to pinpoint him, but that's because it's been so sporadic with Lonzo. One of the things that I pointed out about the first preseason game is that he took the most shot attempts. And on a team where I think everyone recognizes that this is Zion and Ingram's team, you can't be the guy that gets the most shot attempts. That's what you did at beginning of last season. You were getting up 7 to 9 three-pointers a game. And that was fine because everyone was figuring out their roles. But this is another year, and you're still taking the most shot attempts. Like, if you're going to take 9 threes, you got to be better. All we saw in the offseason was you shooting in an open gym with the Clutch logo on the bottom right-hand corner. That's what we saw. So you can't be good in the open gym and being like, I'm an improved player, and then come out and shoot 2 for 9 in a preseason game where there's going to be more spacing for you. There were some open shots for Lonzo in that game. So he's going to need to be better. A lot of it is confidence with Lonzo, and I feel like he's very confident, and he's getting more confident as he sees the court. Oh, I could go on and on. We could have spent the entire podcast about Lonzo, but I'm not as down on Lonzo, but I'm still holding out before you want to extend him. Ultimately, this is Zion and Ingram's team. I think everyone has to recognize that that's what it takes for success, everyone recognizing what role they play. For Lonzo, it feels like he hasn't exactly figured it out yet, and you'll need to see that before the year is up.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. I think in an era of positionless basketball, it's hard to put someone in one basket. But definitely, I think he's a point guard. I mean, he's a point guard, but you can have 3 guards on the ground on the court at a time now. Anyway, completely agree. He's got to show something before you're extending him, Lewis. We're going to leave it at that. I think we'll leave it on the hanger of Lonzo and let the people salivate themselves. They can go at one another on Twitter. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Where can we find you?
So at Lewis Prejean, LOUISPREJEAN. It's not LEWIS. Sorry for all the people that, you know, when when I do my pizza order or my coffee order or whatever order I do at a restaurant. These days, it's LEWIS. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, LOUISPREJEAN, Lewis Prejean Podcast, of course. It's on Audio Mac. It's not on, like, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I got to figure that out eventually. But it's on Audio Mac. And then I'm on every morning, 103.7 The Game. Saturday, Unprompted, 103.7 The Game in Lafayette, Louisiana. You can, you know, if you find 103.7 The Game, you can find me. But Yeah, thanks, Lyle. It was a lot of fun. We did it.
We did it. No, I really appreciate you spending your time with us. And guys, go and check out what he's doing over there. 103.7 The Game. If your radio's not on there, well, you're just doing it wrong. Go and listen. Lewis, thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully we can get you on another time.
So, guys, how good was that? Thanks again for Lewis for joining us. Had some great fun chatting with him. All things Pels. Make sure you head over and follow him on Twitter and also on Unprompted. If you're in New Orleans, you can listen to that on your Saturdays, 9 to 11, as well as his podcast, the Lewis Prejean Podcast. He loves his Pels. So make sure you go and have a listen to him. Now, we're all geared up for Friday, New Orleans time, or Saturday for me, for the game against Milwaukee. So we'll have a chat again after that. I'm going to leave you with that. I'm Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at Hoopball Pels is the show. Pelican Scoop, coming right at ya. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.